Good day, everyone, and welcome to today's program. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, you will have the opportunity to ask questions during the question-and-answer session. You may register to ask a question at any time by pressing star and one on your touch-tone phone. You may withdraw yourself from the queue by pressing the pound key. Please note this call is being recorded. It is now my pleasure to turn the conference over to Alvaro Huerta. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Keith. Hello, and thank you all for joining the call. My name is Alvaro Huerta. I'm a staff attorney at the National Immigration Law Center, an organization dedicated to the idea that all people, regardless of where they were born or how much money they have, should have the tools they need to achieve their full potential. Today, our organization, along with the New Orleans Workers Center for Racial Justice and the law firm Skadden, Arps, Slate, Meagher & Flom, filed a lawsuit on behalf of an inspiring Louisianan who chose to stand up to a discriminatory law that's denying many of the state's residents the fundamental right to marry the person they love. On today's call, you will hear from several speakers about the harm that this law has caused to the residents of Louisiana and about the reasons this law is fundamentally flawed. Although it has been nearly half a century since the Supreme Court affirmed that skin color shouldn't prevent people from marrying the person they love, we continue to see discriminatory efforts to prevent people from being able to stand before their friends and family and make a lifelong commitment and celebrate their union. That's wrong, and it's why we're fighting back today. It's my pleasure to introduce our speakers, who will each give short comments in turn. First, from Skadden, Arps, we have Marley Ann Brummy and Stacey Horth Newbert. From the New Orleans Workers Center for Racial Justice, we have Audrey Stewart, the Managing Director. From Asian Americans Advancing Justice Los Angeles, we have the Litigation Director, Laboni Hawk. And from the National Center for Lesbian Rights, we have their Legal Director, Shannon Minter. We'll be opening up the line for questions after their presentations. Before I turn over to each of them, let me explain what the law, Act 436, does. As you all know, we love who we love, and the Constitution protects our right to marry the person we love, regardless of where we or they were born. The state of Louisiana is denying this fundamental right to many of its residents by making it impossible for them to get a marriage license. That is both morally wrong and unconstitutional. Under current state law, anyone who wants to get a marriage license has to provide a certified birth certificate, which can present a challenge for many people for a variety of reasons. We've seen this happen, for example, in the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina and other more recent natural disasters where many Louisiana residents lost vital documents. Before Act 436 became law, marriage license applicants could get the birth certificate requirement waived by a judge. But Act 436 now allows the birth certificate requirement to be waived only for those born in the United States. In other words, if you are foreign-born and do not have a birth certificate for whatever reason, you cannot get married in the state of Louisiana. This is an affront to the constitutional rights of all Louisianans, and immigrants and their loved ones are the most directly impacted. Let me tell you a little bit about our plaintiff, Viet Victor An Vo. Mr. Vo was wrongfully denied a marriage license by several Louisiana parishes. Parishes are the equivalent of counties in other states, because he could not provide a birth certificate. Mr. Vo was born in a refugee camp in Indonesia after his parents fled Vietnam. He was never issued a birth certificate or passport. In fact, his birth was never officially recognized by either the Vietnamese or Indonesian authorities. Mr. Vo was brought to the United States and has lived in Louisiana since he was 3 months old. He is a United States citizen, and so is his longtime love, Ms. Heather Pham. When Mr. Vo and Ms. Pham attempted to get a marriage license at multiple Louisiana parishes a few weeks before their wedding day, they were turned away, even after he presented a driver's license and social security number and provided a letter to the local parish clerk explaining why he does not have a birth certificate. As you can imagine, the inability to get a marriage license added to the stress in the lead-up to Mr. Fo and Mrs. Pham's wedding. In the end, what was supposed to be one of the most important days of their lives felt like it lacked some kind of legitimacy. Mr. Fo was devastated. The couple had a wedding through their church, but their marriage is still not legally recognized by the state. And one more note before we hear from our next speaker. Proponents of this law claim that they want to combat marriage fraud, but this law is clearly aimed at burdening immigrants and their partners. It's blatant discrimination, And it's another example of how lawmakers have chosen to exploit anti-immigrant sentiment to pass discriminatory laws. So next, we'll hear from Marlianne Brummy, who's an associate at Skadden Arps. Marlianne?
Thanks, Alvaro. We have therefore filed today a complaint in federal court in New Orleans on Mr. Vo's behalf, challenging the current law as unconstitutional. The complaint names as defendants the Louisiana state officials responsible for overseeing and administering marriage licenses generally. It also names the parish clerks, who are directly responsible for issuing marriage licenses, in the three parishes in which Mr. Vo and his fiance were denied a license because he could not provide a birth certificate. As Alvaro mentioned a moment ago, under the current law, Mr. Vo is ineligible to have that birth certificate requirement waived simply because he was born outside of the U.S. His inability to obtain a marriage license because of his national origin is a violation of the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment to the Constitution, which guarantees to all persons within the U.S. the equal and non-discriminatory protection of the law. By preventing foreign-born people like Mr. Vo from waiving the birth certificate requirement, when people born here can waive it, the current law unconstitutionally discriminates against those born abroad. Mr. Vo's inability to obtain a marriage license under the current law also violates his and his fiancé's fundamental constitutional right to marry the person of his or her choosing, reaffirmed once again recently by the Supreme Court. Fundamental rights, such as the right to marry, may not be significantly and directly burdened by the state without a compelling reason, and no compelling reason exists here. Finally, the current law attempts to justify its treatment of foreign-born individuals as an attempt to prevent marriage fraud for immigration purposes. But the power to regulate immigration, including marriage fraud related to immigration, rests exclusively with the United States, not with Louisiana. And the immigration laws of the United States explicitly recognize the ability of those born abroad to marry. Mr. Vo's right to marry has undoubtedly been significantly and directly burdened. He and his fiancée were turned away multiple times, and to this day, they have no marriage license, due only to the circumstances of his birth. This conduct is unconstitutional, and we look forward to having Mr. Vo's rights vindicated in federal court.
Thank you, Marlianne. Next, we'll hear from Audrey Stewart at the New Orleans Workers Center for Racial Justice.
Thank you. My name is Audrey Stewart, and I am the Managing Director at the New Orleans Workers Center for Racial Justice. As a couple of other people have mentioned, the law's proponents have cited marriage fraud as their rationale, but New Orleans Workers Center members immediately recognize the law for what it really is, another attack on immigrant families and communities by some of the most hateful elements in Louisiana's politics. This law is rooted in anti-immigrant sentiment. It continues a shameful and discredited strategy from Louisiana's past, carried out by opponents of civil rights, who've used onerous administrative processes and restrictions to deny people access to fundamental rights simply because of who they are or who they love. This law went into effect in January 2016, and since then, dozens of people seeking marriage licenses, mostly immigrants and refugees, have been turned away by parish clerks in the state simply for trying to exercise their fundamental right to marry. As was also mentioned earlier, it's been half a century since the Supreme Court struck down laws against interracial marriage in Loving v. Virginia. Just last year, our Supreme Court again reaffirmed the right of people to marry who they choose in Obergefell v. Hodges. In rejecting that right with this law, Louisiana is violating half a century of progress towards marriage equality and social inclusion for our residents. This law panders to mean-spirited and regressive elements within Louisiana politics instead of reflecting the welcoming spirit of most Louisianans and honoring our state's history as a birthplace of many of America's most important civil rights struggle. Attacking the right of immigrants to marry in Louisiana is part of an attrition strategy intent on making the state of Louisiana uninhabitable for immigrants by denying basic dignity and access to rights. And in the same way that many in our past have stood up against criminalization, racial profiling, and continual violations of our civil, human, and labor rights, People affected by this law will continue to conquer hate by celebrating their love, building family and community, and achieving their right to remain in the state they call home. The proponents of this law are an echo of our shameful past. It's time that we be an seize the opportunity to be a voice for the future and represent all of the communities in our state by building an inclusive Louisiana. Thank you.
Thank you, Audrey. Next, we'll hear from Laboni Hawk, the litigation director at Asian Americans Advancing Justice, Los Angeles.
Good morning. Asian Americans are intimately familiar with the harms that marriage discrimination has inflicted on individuals, families, and communities. Our experience goes back to the late 1800s and early 1900s, where we saw the enactment of exclusionary laws that were specifically intended to undermine both our existence and our participation in American society. Both federal immigration laws and state and federal anti-miscegenation laws were specifically aimed at the large Asian American populations that were coming through our borders at the time, mostly Chinese, Japanese, and South Asians. And these laws specifically attacked their basic right to marry and thereby integrate into American society. In 1880, you had the prohibition of marriage licenses between Chinese Americans and Caucasians so that they could not form unions, and that was later expanded to include quote-unquote Mongolians. And so, you know, the attempt was made to make it even broader than just the Chinese immigrants. In 1907, you had U.S. Congress pass a similar statute that prevented Asian men from marrying white women. And in 1924, you had the Immigration Act that also indirectly affected the right to marriage because it prohibited immigration from individuals who are ineligible to become citizens at that time. And that was really specifically directed at Chinese Americans. That was the only population that was really affected by that law. And if you look at the legislative history behind some of these laws, you specifically saw comments about the intent of the laws to prohibit the establishment of the quote-unquote Oriental family in American society. And in fact, these laws did have, you know, a drastic impact on Asian Americans' integration and even numbers and populations that came to the U.S. So in 1890, we had a population of about 107,000 Asian Americans in the country, and that number dropped drastically to about 62,000 in 1920. And so now hearkening back from that era to the present day with HB 436, we unfortunately see history repeating itself. With this new anti-immigrant law that, again, tries to deny the basic right of marriage to immigrant communities. And it, particularly in Louisiana, where we have a large refugee population, you see this being a particularly high burden for those communities who often are coming and have come to flee the political strife in their countries, mostly from Southeast Asian countries, including Vietnam, Laos, and Cambodia, and even more broadly to some further countries, including Indonesia and Burma. And these, again, are directly attempting to prohibit these communities from integrating into larger society, and it's really sad to see history repeating itself once again in Louisiana. And so for these reasons, we stand strongly with Victor Anne Vo and the groups that are bringing this lawsuit so that we can hopefully see a quick end to this attempt to deny these basic rights of immigrant communities to come to the U.S. and integrate and become part of the rich fabric of our society.
Thank you so much, Laboni. Finally, before we turn to questions, we'll hear from Shannon Minter, Legal Director at the National Center for Lesbian Rights.
Oh, thanks so much. You know, speaking on behalf of the LGBT community, whose fundamental freedom to marry was only recently recognized in this country just last year by the U.S. Supreme Court, we're appalled and horrified by this blatant denial of the fundamental right to marry to immigrants in Louisiana, which of course includes a number of LGBT people, among others, who've come to this country from other places and who are now living in Louisiana. And as we know from recent experience, you know, the purpose and impact of these kind of laws is just so invidious and harmful, and that's especially true here when the discrimination is targeted at a class of people, immigrants in this case, who've already experienced so much discrimination and abuse and who are under attack in such a vicious way by one of our presidential candidates. We know that these laws are intended to, and they do, send a clear message that immigrants aren't entitled to equal dignity and respect, that their relationships aren't worthy of the same protections as others. We also know these laws have a devastating practical impact as well, and same-sex couples have certainly experienced that for so many years in denying couples the ability to protect their relationships and their families. So especially because we know so well the harms that arise when states restrict the fundamental right to marry and when they enact laws that are so blatantly intended to stigmatize and demean an already vulnerable group of people, you know, the LGBT community stands in the strongest possible solidarity with immigrant communities in Louisiana and across the country to oppose this blatantly unconstitutional law. In particular, we stand ready to join in and support the important litigation that was filed today, and we really salute NILC and SCADN and the Worker Center for your leadership in bringing that suit. And we will do everything we can to support it and to do what we can to ensure that other states don't follow suit and enact similar measures. So thanks.
Thank you so much, Shannon. So now we're going to open the line up for questions. Keith, if you can do that for us, please.
Certainly. If you'd like to ask a question, please press star and one on your touchtone phone. You may withdraw your question at any time by pressing the pound key. Once again, to ask a question, press star and one on your touchtone phone. We'll pause a few moments to allow any questions to queue.
Thank you, Keith.
Once again, it is star and one to ask a question. It appears at this time we have no questions, so I'll return the program to our presenters for any additional comments. And, oh, we do have one question that has just entered. We can go to Julie Agonin with the National Center for Lesbian Rights. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Thank you so much, and thanks to everyone for bringing this action and for having this very informative call today. I'm curious. It's really appalling to hear about this measure in Louisiana. And I'm sorry if I joined a little bit late, and I don't know if this was covered earlier, but have other states considered or passed similar legislation? Is this something we need to be on the lookout for in other places?
Thanks for that question. So as far as we know, other states haven't passed a similar law, though there was a policy that was similar to this that where in Pennsylvania back in 2007, they were requiring proof of lawful presence before providing marriage licenses. That was struck down by a federal court in a case called Buck v. Stankovic in 2008. But as far as we know, that's the only instance of something like this. That said, we're seeing a lot of states starting to implement new documentary requirements that are definitely having an effect on immigrants disproportionately. One example is just this, I think earlier this year or late last year, Texas passed a requirement that where the parents of folks born in the U.S. had to provide some kind of documentation of their own lawful status before they could get birth certificates for their children. Any other questions?
Yes, and we can go next to Nina Feldman with The World. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, thanks so much. I just wanted to ask, Ashley, with the Worker Center, you mentioned that the LA state officials responsible for overseeing marriage license distributions are going to be the ones that you're targeting with the lawsuit. Who are they? And then also the three parishes you mentioned that have denied the licenses. Which parishes are those?
It's Iberia Parish, Vermilion Parish, Lafayette Parish are the parishes named, the parish clerks named in the lawsuit, And we've heard anecdotally of several other parishes denying folks the right to get a marriage license, including Baton Rouge.
Okay, thanks. And then are there specific state officials?
Sure. I'm going to turn that actually over to one of the lawyers to answer the question about who's actually sued, though. Thank you.
Thanks.
Sure. Thank you, Audrey. Yes, the other, so we're suing the clerks at each of those three parishes, and then that we're also suing Rebecca Gee, who's the Secretary of the Department of Health, which oversees the State Registrar's Office, which is led by Devin George, who's also named plaintiff.
Okay.
Defendant, excuse me.
Thank you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And once again, if you wish to ask a question or if I have a comment, please press star and one, and we can pause again to allow any others to queue. Now we can go next to Cassandra Brulach with New Mexico Legal Aid. Please go ahead.
You mentioned that anecdotally you've heard of other parishes. I was wondering if there appears to be a specific nationality that is being targeted with these restrictions, or if it's being it appears to be being applied generally.
I'm not sure we have an answer to that.
Oh. I think our general sense, at least from what we've, the instances that we've heard, and this is Alvaro at NILC, is that it's being applied generally. We've heard of instances, you know, folks of all different ethnicities. Our named plaintiff, of course, is from Vietnam, and we do know and have heard other stories of refugees, particularly from Vietnam and Laos, who have been affected. So it's definitely affecting the Asian refugee population and their families. But we have heard of, you know, instances of Latinos and others who are affected.
Thank you.
Once again, it's star and one to ask a question. And it does appear we have no further questions at this time. I'll return the floor to our speakers.
Great. Thank you, Keith. Well, thank you all for joining the call. If you do have any further questions, feel free to contact NILC by reaching out to Juan Gasolin, who was noted in the advisory, or Audrey Stewart at the Worker Center. They're happy to answer further questions. And thank you very much to all of our speakers for joining. We look forward to working with all of you to get this law off the books. Thanks to everybody for joining us today.